Welcome back to Between the Lines. We hope you enjoyed that break, because we're diving back into the depths of Scripture with more enlightening discussions. Join us now as we continue our journey.
Oh my gosh, I've gone to so many churches in my life, and some of them are as dead as a mortuary. Mm-hmm. All rise. We're going to sing Psalm number 13.
Stop smiling.
Yes.
Sorry.
As the usher counts the congregation, it's sad. It's sad. We roar all like bears and mourn sore like doves. We look for judgment, but there is none, for salvation, but it is far off from us. You know, there's no salvation in religion, Christian. There's no salvation in the law. And this book chronicles that. Oh, I can't say it enough. I cannot say it enough. If you put your hope in religion, and I told a guy one time, God hates religion. He called me sacrilegious. How can you say God hates religion? If you've read that book, you can't come away with anything other than understanding that. He wants a personal relationship with you. He gave you the religion to punish you. Yeah, now you got to do this. You got to do this on this day. You got to do this on that day. You got to be here on this day. You got to sacrifice some of your animals on these days. That'll cost you.
The best animals.
The best of the best.
Yeah.
You know that $150 lamb?
Yeah.
No, I'm not taking that $19 lamb. I want the $150 lamb. Don't even try to sneak that $19 lamb into the temple and have it sacrificed, because I will know.
You know, the one you spray paint it white?
Yeah. Yes, exactly. Oh, I read a story about, you know, they were searching for the perfect red heifer for years and years and years. They say they have them now. Mm-hmm. But they had found one, but it had three or four gray hairs on its tail. And these rabbis were debating just plucking them out. Would that be okay? Because it would be momentarily perfect.
Technically.
We'd have to sacrifice it while before those gray hairs grew back.
Right.
That is your religion.
Yeah.
Does you no good.
Like, God's not going to know.
Get the holy tweezers.
Yeah. So I was just thinking about, like, what would be the process behind that? You'd have to make your own, whatever, you know.
Yes. Too bad one of the rabbis didn't notice it on his own and pluck him out before the other ones came in the room.
Right. Why is he so quiet?
But God says he will know. He'll know they plucked those gray hairs out of there. He'll know your heart wasn't right when you went to church. He'll know you went there because that's what you do on Sunday at 10 o'clock. Not there to go and see him. Not there to go and worship. This is what I do on Sunday at 10 o'clock. And then I go to Denny's right afterwards. and he knows in your heart that you're really looking forward to getting to Denny's.
Oh, yeah.
And you really wasn't looking forward to going to church.
Endless yeast rolls.
There you end. Yes. Oh, yeah. There you go. For our transgressions are multiplied before thee, and our sins testify against us. Yeah, exactly what I just said. He knows. For our transgressions are with us. Your sins are carried around with you, and you will pay for them in this life, in this flesh. I know Jesus paid for all your sins, Christian. He paid for the sins of your spirit man, who will stand before God, holy and pristine by the blood of Jesus Christ one day. But this flesh will pay for its sins while you are here. And if you don't keep, the spirit man does not stay in control of this carnal mind. He pays the price too while he rides around in this flesh. You have to stay in control. Personal relationship with God, daily conversations with God, daily focusing on God, meditating. Every action you take in life, ask him whether that's a good one. You know what? Oh, I'm not going to trouble God with all those little things I do. It doesn't mind. He's omnipotent. He's omnipresent. Mm-hmm. He even has watchers looking out after you.
And he wants to hear all those
things.
He
does. He wants to hear it all. And for our transgressions are with us, and as for our iniquities, We know them. There you go. Pay for them. We know our iniquities because we have the strife within our heart. We have the scars in our flesh for all the things that we have done. Verse 13, in transgressing and lying against the Lord. Ooh. And departing away from our lips, speaking oppression and revolt, conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. Oh, wow. There is a lot in there. In transgressing and lying against the Lord. Mm-hmm. That is a complex sentence. Mm-hmm. God made you. You were made for one purpose. You're made to worship and serve Him. If you stray off that path, you are transgressing against God. Oh, I'm not a bad person. I just go about my life. I try to treat everybody good. But that's not the purpose you were put here for. You were made by Him in His image to bring glory to Him, to worship Him. Don't stray off of that. In transgressing and lying against the Lord and departing away from our God. He put you here. He said, I knew you before I put you in the womb. We have a personal relationship in the past. But I put a veil of innocence over you when I put you in the womb so that you could prove to me you deserve eternal life with me. Prove that to me. Prove it to me. Speaking oppression and revolt. There you go, revolt. Not doing what you were designed to do. Worship and bring glory to God. Conceiving and uttering from the heart words of falsehood. And why is that word heart in there? Because God said, I place the spirit in the heart of man because the mind is contrary to the will of God, and this flesh is an abomination. It's up to the spirit man to gain control of this mind and guide this flesh in the path to God during this testing time that you're in. Verse 14, and judgment is turned away backward, and justice standeth afar off. For truth is fallen in the street, and equity cannot enter. If you do not follow after God, you are at the mercy of this world. There is no justice for you. Everything is falling away. You can never be equal to what He wanted you to be. Yea, truth faileth, and he that departeth from evil maketh himself a prey. And the Lord saw it, and it displeased Him that there was no judgment. And He saw that there was no man and wondered that there was no intercessor. Oh, I see Jesus Christ in this verse right here. Mm-hmm. Therefore, His arm brought salvation unto him, and His righteousness, it sustained him. Basically saying on all these last 5 or 6 verses, the law would never do it. You couldn't find your way back to me with religion. I realize that. I know that. My right arm, my son, Jesus Christ has brought salvation unto him, and His righteousness, it sustained him. For He put on righteousness as a breastplate and a helmet of salvation upon His head. And He put on the garments of vengeance for clothing and was clad with zeal as a cloak. I think Paul expands upon that later in the New Testament. Mm-hmm. Put on all the whole armor of God. He's got two portions of it there.
I like how Isaiah's making mention of the helmet of salvation. And like you said, that Paul, whenever he expands on it, like, we didn't have Jesus at this point. Yeah. Like, He was there, don't get me wrong. But yeah, what I mean is that He wasn't, like, in the story yet.
Yeah.
But
a prophecy for Jesus, for he put on righteousness as a breastplate.
Right.
And the helmet of salvation upon His head. And He put on the garments of vengeance for His clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. The garments of vengeance for clothing.
Makes me think of a robe dipped in blood to me.
And it protected him when he went to hell and did battle with Satan. It wasn't physical battle, because the physical battle was on the cross. That's a very interesting take on the armor of God there. that Christ wore it first in a little bit different fashion than what Paul is telling us to do in the New Testament. The garments of vengeance for clothing, and was clad with zeal as a cloak. Zeal. What is the exact definition of zeal?
I'd say it's based on your convictions.
You have a zeal to do something.
Right. Right.
Absolute, utter desire to do it.
Yeah. It's just odd, too. Like the garments of vengeance. And what I was just saying about was with Paul, when he ends, he's expanding there, he says to put on the shoes prepared for the gospel of priests,
yeah,
or the gospel of peace. This is actually the garments of vengeance.
Obviously, the armor would change slightly because right. Christ went and actually did the battle, mm-hmm. and all we have to do is spread the word.
Right.
Yeah.
Right.
According to their deeds, accordingly, he will repay fury and his adversaries. Recompense to his enemies, to the islands, he will repay recompense. And he's, and that basically, like verse 18, telling what Christ did when he went to hell and defeated Satan and took his power. So shall they fear the name of the Lord from the west and his glory from the rising of the sun. When the enemy shall come in like a flood, the Spirit of the Lord shall lift up a standard against him. And the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. And there's another prophecy of Christ. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord. My spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forever. That's we got to read that one again. So verse 20, talking about Christ, and the Redeemer shall come to Zion, and unto them that turn from transgression in Jacob, saith the Lord. As for me, this is my covenant with them, saith the Lord, my spirit that is upon thee, and my words which I have put in thy mouth, shall not depart out of thy mouth, nor out of the mouth of thy seed, nor out of the mouth of thy seed's seed, saith the Lord, from henceforth and forevermore. I am establishing the first covenant through my Son. Follow me with all your heart and be baptized, an everlasting covenant, the same as what was given to Abraham in Genesis. And basically, with Christ, religion is behind you. With Christ, the law is no more. Christian, I implore you. You have to get into this Bible and you got to read. You have to understand. Do not dabble in the law if you have the salvation of Jesus Christ, because you're telling him what he done just wasn't good enough. Very, very dangerous thing to do. Chapter 60, Book of Isaiah. Rise, shine, for thy light is come, and the glory of the Lord is risen upon thee. But behold, the darkness shall cover the earth, and gross darkness the people. But the Lord shall arise upon thee, and his glory shall be seen upon thee. And the Gentiles shall come to thy light, and the kings of the brightness of thy rising. Lift up thine eyes round about and see. All they gather themselves together. They come to see. Thy sons shall come from far, and thy daughters shall be nursed at thy side. Basically saying, we talk about Christ in the end of the last chapter, and everyone is included, and they all will come to him, Jews and Gentiles alike. And shalt thou see and flow together, and thine heart shall fear and be enlarged, because the abundance of the sea shall be converted unto thee. The forces of the Gentiles shall come unto thee. And then that is not the ocean he's talking mm-hmm. about. The abundance of the populace of the world will come unto thee. And when Christianity took off in the first few centuries, oh my gosh, the world was just massively being converted.
Mm-hmm.
And I look at maps now, and all of the Middle East, Africa, and into Europe were Christianity, and it's all Muslim now.
Mm-hmm.
The great falling away of the last days is taking place. The adversary is lining himself up, and if you don't believe Islam is an adversary to Christianity, you have no idea what you're thinking about.
Humanity. They have, Sorry, I was just saying humanity as a whole.
They have one goal, that is to dominate this world.
Kill anybody who disagrees.
That's right. The multitude of camels shall cover thee, the dromedaries of Midian and Ephah. All they from Sheba shall come, they shall bring gold and incense, and shall show forth the praises of the Lord. All the flocks of Kedar shall be gathered together unto thee, and rams of Nebaioth shall minister unto thee. They shall come up with acceptance on mine altar, and I will glorify the house of my glory. Who are these that fly as a cloud and as the doves to their windows? Surely the isles shall wait for me, and the ships of Tarshish first, to bring thy sons from far, their silver and their gold with them, unto the name of the Lord. And thy God and the Holy One of Israel, because he hath glorified thee. Looks like we're getting into the millennial period there. Verse 10, and the sons of strangers shall build up thy walls, and their kings shall minister unto thee, for in my wrath I smote thee. But in my favor have I mercy on thee. Yes, we are in the millennial period, because the Jewish kingdom will be the center of the world government. Where it says, the strangers shall build up their walls, and other kings will minister to thee. That's the portion that they expected Messiah to give them when he came the first time. Mm-hmm. Now, it's an interesting thing here coming up. And let's see, I'll just keep going here. Therefore, thy gates shall be open continually. They shall not be shut day nor night, that men may bring unto thee the forces of the Gentiles, that their kings may be brought. For the nation and kingdom that will not serve thee shall be shall perish. Yea, those nations shall be utterly wasted. This is the millennial period under Christ's rule. The glory of Lebanon shall come unto thee, the fir tree, the pine tree, and the box together to beautify the place of my sanctuary, and I will make the place of my feet glorious. And that's not referring specifically to trees. All men from the lowly pine all the way up to and I see that the fir tree and you know, it talks about the cedars and sycamores and all that normally, but he kind of threw in a lowly tree there. Mm-hmm. All men from great to small, the sons also of them that afflicted thee shall come bending unto thee, and all they that despise thee shall bow themselves down at the soles of thy feet. They shall call thee the city of the Lord, the Zion of the Holy One of Israel. And you know, the Jews have a curse on them because of their rejection of the Messiah. God said, I'll scatter you into the four winds of the earth, and everywhere you go, you will be a thorn in the side of all men. You wonder why anti-Semitism crops up here, there, and everywhere. Some little town in Nebraska. Why does that young farm boy hate Jews? He has no choice. It is a curse on the Jew himself. If that young farm boy was following God with all of his heart, yes, it would override that hatred that he would feel for the Jews. He would begin to feel love for the Jews. But everywhere you go, you will be hated. But here, during the millennial time, it says the sons of all of those that hated you will come and bow before you now. Mm-hmm. Whereas thou hast been forsaken and hated so that no man went through thee, I will make thee an eternal excellency, a joy of many generations. Thou shalt also suck the milk of the Gentiles. Thou shalt suck the breast of kings, and thou shalt know that I, the Lord, am thy Savior, thy Redeemer, the Mighty One of Jacob. Look what happens, Jewish folks, as soon as you realize who the Messiah is. You will be elevated to royalty.
All the bad stuff stops.
All the bad stuff stops. You will eat the drink the milk of kings. Others will do your work for you. For brass, I will bring gold. And for iron, I will bring silver. And for wood, brass. And for stones, iron. I will also make thy officers peace, and thine exactors righteousness. Violence shall no more be heard in thy land, wasting nor destruction within thy borders, but thou shalt call thy walls salvation, and thy gates praise. The sun shall be no more thy light by day, neither for brightness shall the moon give light unto thee, but the Lord shall be unto thee an everlasting light, and thy glory thy God. And we just pass from the millennial period to the point where the New Jerusalem comes down onto the new earth, and God resides at the top of it with his throne. And oddly enough, you know what? If you study this Bible, you'll see the New Jerusalem is shaped like a giant pyramid.
Weird.
I wonder what them pyramids were all about back then. Because they weren't built by men. You cannot move 1,000-ton stones even today with our technology. Mm-hmm. But when the ancient ones, the fallen angels, fell from heaven, they wanted to build something that looked like God's city. They built a replica of it. Why do you think it had a golden top stone on top of it? Because that's where God's throne resides, the Bible said. The sun shall no more go down, neither shall thy moon withdraw itself, for the Lord shall be thine everlasting light, and the days of thy mourning shall be ended. Thy people also shall be all righteousness. They shall inherit the land forever, and branch of my planting, the work of my hands, that I may be glorified. A little one shall become 1,000, and a small one a strong nation. I, the Lord, will hasten it in this time. Did you realize, I know Pastor Bob never told you there's going to be children born and families in the new world, in God's kingdom, but it's all in here. And I tell you what, you stay with us long enough, I'll show you where Christ even has a family after it's all over, after he turns the reins back to God. It's in here. And why would he not? He is the King of Kings, the Lord of Lords. Why would he not revel in everything that he has created? His son, he deserves anything and everything that he ever won. And when I found that in here, I was flabbergasted. I couldn't believe it. I read it over and over and over again. Yes, the prince himself will have children. Oh, it's been a wild ride here with you today. But I tell you what, if the Jews focused on chapter 60 and didn't read all the rest of it, no wonder they despised Christ, because that couldn't have been their Messiah. Right. They're reading about the millennial period and the new God's kingdom, the new Jerusalem coming down into God's kingdom. And yes, let's pass by that part about a baby and dying on a cross and the other 300 prophecies that Christ fulfilled. No, we want to focus on this part, and he's going to ride in here on a white horse, and he's going to establish what we just read.
He's going to be the conqueror.
Yes, the great conqueror. Well, you know what? They had no choice either. Mm-hmm. God choreographed this planet. He choreographed this book. He choreographed this second time around for mankind. Yes, Jeremiah denotes where this world was here before, and we got to high technology just like we are now. Catch episode 1 on WVFFradio.com. I dare you. There are a lot of things in this book Pastor Bob never told you. And I won't say it if I can't back it up in black and white. And if you hear me say something, you go back to where I notated it in the Bible, and you read it over and over and over again. It's going to be there. I'm not going to lead you astray, but check out everything I say. And good to be here with you on WVFF 97.7, the book of Isaiah today. God loves you to read his book. He says so. We'll catch you next time.
Thank you for joining us on this episode of Between the Lines. We hope you've gained a deeper understanding of God's Word and strengthened your faith in Jesus. Tune in again for more spiritual discoveries, 3 p.m. daily with David and Jonathan. Exclusively here on Veterans for Freedom Radio, the Truth in Broadcasting Corporation.